Before I read the scripture for today, I want to mention a couple of things. Thank you to Susan and to Guy and to Gary. We almost got the fellowship hall ready. We only need to clean the chairs now. That's all that needs to be done. The fellowship hall has been cleaned. March the 16th, we're going to move Bible study back to the church, and we're going to do it downstairs. I assume we'll have the chairs done by then. Instead of doing it on Zoom, as we have been for almost 2 years now, we're going to move back to the church, and it's going to be done here March the 16th at 7 o'clock. Also, since we're going to have the fellowship hall ready, in the coming weeks, I want you to be listening for. I'm going to lead something about the very basics of the Christian walk starting at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. It will go from 9 to 10 in the fellowship hall. It will finish at 10, so those of you that are in the choir can get to the choir room to practice. And it's just going to be the very basics of the Christian life. And there will be times, I want to let you know, there will be times that I'm going to ask you to read the scripture. So I am going to ask you to bring your Bible with you. You may get a little card on your way in asking you to look up a scripture and read it later during our time. So I'm going to ask everybody to please bring your Bible so that we can listen to other people read, not just me. I find that when I hear other people read scriptures, sometimes it draws my attention to something I would never see because somebody else is reading it. So we got some things coming up in the next few weeks. Daylight savings time starts on the 13th of March. So I'll give those of you that need preparation for getting your clock set right a couple of weeks. I'm not pointing any fingers on who might be able, the ones that might not be able to get their clocks right, but I see some people looking in a certain direction, but I'm not going to do that. Just want you to be prepared. We're going to start moving forward, and we're going to start doing some things here at the church a little bit more than we have in the past 2 years. Other churches are doing the same, and they're not having a problem, so we're going to move forward with some things. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it is found in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 down through 36. So if you have your Bible with you, I'd ask you to open up your Bible to that. I know that we have the words on the screen, which is a wonderful thing because that keeps us all on the same translation and looking at the same words. But I would encourage you, I'm going to say this again, I would encourage you to always bring your Bible with you, whether you've got a book or whether you've got it electronically. It's still God's Word. And I would encourage you to bring it with you so that you can glance at it and look at it during the sermon, because this is the only time that we will have it up here. So listen to these words of Jesus. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." I want to address one word before we even start. And that word is enemies. I have found throughout my ministry that when scripture like this is talked about, the very first thing that I hear people say is, I don't have any enemies. And I want to say this, yes, you do. I think some people don't want to use that word because they want to say it's an awful strong word, and I don't know folks that strongly dislike me like that. Folks, if you've got anybody that doesn't view things the same way you view them, they're enemies when it comes to the Word of God. If people do not love Jesus Christ like you love Jesus Christ, they're enemies. And they will struggle against you, and they will fight against you. Now, I do admit that some of them are open, and they're willing to listen, and they're willing to take in. But I want you to acknowledge that you do have people that don't agree with you and don't see things the way you see them. And one of the reasons I wanted to address this very up front is because I think I've found throughout my ministry that people say, I don't have enemies, therefore I don't have to pay attention to this scripture. Because Jesus is talking about loving your enemies and doing things for you. I don't have any. And I just want you to stop and pause for a minute and say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. There are people that don't agree with my lifestyle as a pastor. There are people that don't want to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ and have told me so. They're enemies. There are some who struggle against what I attempt to do in leading people and guiding people deeper in the faith. Just pause for a moment and realize that you have people that don't see things the way you see them. I'll admit that the word enemies is an awful strong word. And as I thought about this, especially this morning, I thought about the people in Ukraine. The people on both sides of the battle line are enemies. The unfortunate thing is that some of them have never met each other. And they have been taught that we are enemies of those folks. Otherwise, how could what's happening be happening? How could what's happening be happening if people didn't believe those folks are enemies? So please acknowledge as I start this sermon out that you do have people that don't agree with your life as a Christian. Maybe you don't know them, but they're out there. And Jesus wants to address how do we treat them. Jesus addresses how we should respond when people treat us wrong. Who here, raise your hand, who here has never been treated wrong by somebody? Almost all of us have been treated wrong by somebody at some point in time in our lives. And Jesus is addressing how should we interact with them? How should we be people who show them what they need to see? Retaliation, revenge, and bitterness is never the way to respond to a situation. Retaliation, revenge, and bitterness is never the way to respond to a situation. Jesus says this very clearly. Never. It's never an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yes, that's what the Old Testament teaches. But do you know why the Old Testament taught that? Not for that to be a way of life, for that to be a limit in what is done. That's why the Old Testament teaches that. That is a limit. If someone pokes your eye out, you can't go any further than poking their eye out. That's why it's in the Old Testament. You can't go any further. It's not meant to be, okay, I've got to go out and get revenge. I've got to go out and get retribution. I've got to go out and show that other person the same thing that they showed me in harm. No. God spoke those words to tell people, limit what you do. And then Jesus comes and says, instead of limiting it, I'm going to go one step further. If someone slaps you, let them slap you here too. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt also. If someone takes something from you, borrows something from you, don't ever look for it back. Is that the way we live? Jesus is calling us to live that way. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus is not calling us to be the doormat of society. Okay? It's not wrong for me if somebody tries to slap me to put my hand up. But it is wrong for me to seek retribution. Jesus says so. It is wrong for me to seek retribution and revenge. Other scriptures talk about that's for God to do, not for us. That's God's place, not our place. So when someone comes after me in a confrontation, I need to do what I can. What does Jesus say? To show them love. That's what I need to do. So I want to define for you love once again. Love is looking out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs you. That's what love is. Think about how God expresses love to us. God expresses love to us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So what is love? Love is looking out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs you. Is that not what God did with Jesus Christ? That's our example of love. Even if it cost me. And doesn't Jesus say that here in this passage? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Is that the way we live? I can hear my major professor that I spent a lot of time with and learning from saying that God has given the church what the world needs. And that is love. What can correct the situation in the Ukraine? Love. What can correct the divisiveness in our own country? Love. What can correct situations in churches where people are pulling the church apart? Love. What can correct families that are being torn apart? Love. Folks, that will fit every situation. If we look out for the other person's best interest, won't that correct things? even if it cost us. Even if it causes us harm. Love. It all boils down to that. So verse 31, do to others as you would have them do to you is always the proper response. Do to others as you would always have them do to you. That's always the proper response. Somebody treats you wrong, love them. Do to them what you would have them do to you. I think for Americans, that should be pretty easy to understand, since most Americans are about what? It's about me. It's about I. I know what I want, and I didn't get my fair share, and I didn't get this, and I didn't get that, and I was not treated right. Well, if that's the way you feel, then start treating other people that way. Shouldn't that correct some of the problems that we have? Divisiveness happens because people won't listen to one another. Instead, what they do is they think up a response while the other person's talking. That happens not only in interpersonal relationships. It happens in churches. It happens in every organization. It's happening in politics right now. Nobody wants to listen to what the other person is saying. But they want to be listened to, don't they? I know my grandma didn't tell me this, but I've heard it through the years, and plenty of grandmas have said it. You got two ears and one mouth. That means you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. Right? Amen. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. Do people do that? Even when people's mouths are closed, oftentimes they're not listening. Man, let that other person take a breath and I'm going to tell them what I think. Just let them get to that spot where they got to go, and boy, I'm going to let it loose and I'm going to tell them, I love you. No, that's not the thought we have, is it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Jesus says. And then Jesus goes on to say, if we only act this way for our friends, then we're doing nothing more than sinners do. Now, I realize I'm a sinner. I think I probably can say there's probably not a day that goes by that I don't sin in some way. And sometimes I sin by saying the wrong things. But look at what Jesus says. If we only do this with friends, we're not any better than the worst of people, is what he's saying. If a cashier treats me wrong, and I treat them wrong back, I'm just as good as the worst of people in this world. That's what Jesus is saying. If a company treats me wrong and doesn't treat me right, and I bite back at them, I'm not doing anything different than the worst of people in this world. Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Part of me wants to say, how is that hard to understand? But I can tell you this, I have met just as many people in the church as outside the church that treat me wrong. Just as many. There's no distinction. I've sat with many couples through the years that are investigating whether they should get divorced or not. And neither one of them wants to love the other person. Neither one of them wants to look out for the best interest of the other person. I've met parents that don't want to look out for the best interest of their children. Folks, people inside the church are no different than people outside the church. When will we start living the way Jesus calls us to live? Do unto other people as you would have them do unto you. It doesn't matter whether they're a Christian or not. It doesn't matter whether they're a maniac or not. It doesn't matter whether they think straight or not. Jesus says, love them. Look out for their best interest. Let them take from you. Do what's good for them, not for yourself. This is a challenge, is it not? Because my natural reaction when somebody bites at me is to bite back. Is that not true for you? I have met people that's not true for, by the way. But sometimes they don't bite back because they're scared. Sometimes they don't bite back because they don't know how. But Jesus says that shouldn't be us at all. That whether people treat us right or don't treat us right, we should always treat the other person right. Always. No ifs, ands, or buts. I can't find an except for here, can you? Except for when they happen to be a murderer. It's not there. Except for when they happen to be a political leader that's leading people in the wrong way. It's not there. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he even goes a step further. He says at the very last verse that I read, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. We are to be merciful just as God is merciful to every person we meet. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy and grace are something that I explained to my kids as they were growing up so that they could understand. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve a relationship with God. But by God's grace, I receive those. Mercy is not giving people what they do deserve. I'll agree with you. There's some people that need to be yelled at from now until the time that Jesus comes because they're not getting it. But mercy says, don't do that. And Jesus says, instead of love. God has been so merciful to me. What do I deserve? I know what I deserve. I deserve death. I deserve to be put in a jail and left there forever. Some of you will never believe that about me. But I know of a time in my life that it could have been very possible. And somebody looked at me and said, I think it's good that you go somewhere else instead of stay here. and that someone else was a cop that had me for numerous infractions all at once and showed mercy on me and said, I think it would be good for you to move on because I'm not going to give you what you deserve. And what does Jesus say? Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. God has been oh so merciful to me. God has not given me the punishment that I deserve. And by grace and love, God has overabundantly given me so much more. Now, I will admit that there's some Christians that don't understand that. But God has given us so much. Amen? We got a place to sit today. Right? Some of you like to sit, don't you? We got a place to sit. God has made sure, don't ask me how, but God has made sure we got heat today. Amen? We didn't have it last week. We got it today. God has done so much for us because God has looked out for our best interest, even at the great cost of the death of His Son. Folks, we'll never be able to do that much. I wonder if some of these people that we consider to be horrible people, I wonder what would have happened if somebody loved them instead. I'll just bring up two. Adolf Hitler. Osama bin Laden. What would have happened if somebody loved them instead? What would have happened if somebody showed mercy to them instead? What would happen if love bloomed in an incredible way in the Ukraine right now? What would happen if people started to show mercy to one another in the Ukraine? What would happen if they started to do to each other as they would want done to themselves? I don't think there's a single person on either side of that battle line right now that would love to see their own house blown up by a rocket. What do you think? What if they started showing love to each other? What if they laid down their arms and said, I don't care who's in charge. I'm not going to do this violent action. I'm going to show love. What would happen if the people in the churches in this town overwhelmingly showed love to every person they met? Overwhelmingly, in spite of how they might be treated at times. There would be a revival, wouldn't there, Jerry? There'd be an incredible thing going on. And we couldn't stop it. No one could. No one could. What if we live like Jesus asked us to live? To love even the people that hate you. To love even the people that dislike you. To love the people that don't like the way you rake your leaves. By the way, if you come to my house and you're my neighbor, I'm not raking my leaves. rake don't fit my hand. God put the leaves on the ground for a reason. That's my opinion. And there's bound to have been somebody in my life that didn't like the way I took care of fallen leaves in my yard. What if I love them in spite of that? I bet if I love them in spite of that, they're not going to care whether I rake my leaves or not. What do you think? If I treat them with the utmost concern about things, I'm picking on something really, really little. And don't get me started on grass either, so. The only reason grass is cut in this town is for two reasons. Peer pressure. And the town says, if you don't cut it, we're giving you a ticket. That's the only reason my grass is cut. But folks, shouldn't we be loving people? I think if we loved people overwhelmingly, not only would there be a revival, but every church in this town would be full. And we would have to build bigger churches. But when we're out there biting back when people bite us, when we're out there doing against other people as we wish they wouldn't do to us, remember what I said earlier? Revenge, retribution, and bitterness is never the answer. Love is. No matter who someone is, love is. I want to give you a minute to just think. Can you treat enemies and friends with love, kindness, and mercy? Can you treat enemies and friends with love, kindness, and mercy? I know all three of those things are things that each one of us want. I want to be loved. I want people to show kindness to me. I want people to show mercy when I'm doing something that I really don't want. Can you do that for other folks? So before I lead us in prayer, I'm just going to pause and let you talk to God about this. How can you better love as Jesus asked us to do? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to admit to you that there are times that your requirement here in the Scripture feels like an impossible task. There are times that I don't want to show kindness to others. There are times that I don't want to love. There are times that I don't want to show mercy. And when those times happen, that causes conflict. And you're asking for us to seek out ways to diffuse that conflict by showing love to people. Whoever they are, and however they've been brought up, and whatever they've done, and however they continue to act. Lord, this is tough. And sometimes we make it easy by saying, I don't have any enemies. But Lord, if we would look at our lives, we would see that we act the opposite in what Jesus asked us to do in some situations in our lives. Call us out. Stop us. Help us to realize when we don't show love to someone else. Because, Lord, so many issues in this world could be changed if we would just show love like you did. In spite of who we were and in spite of who people are, you still sent your Son. You still said, I love you this much. And even though it cost me, I'm still going to show you this love. Lord, may we learn to be the same kind of people so that some of the divisiveness and division and conflict in this world can stop. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.